Hi, this is Fiona from HowToPutTheFunBackIntoDating.com. I teach women who are at the end of their dating rope to reignite the excitement and fun in their dating lives and to create amazing love lives. Come listen in.
The 10% of males that are natural born flirts are confident and can use humor and are relatively attractive, which adds to their confidence.
And you're saying from the woman's point of view, what?
No, I was talking merely from the men's point of view.
Okay, and I was talking from the woman's point of view. Well, from anybody's point of view, but from a strict sense of beauty versus attractiveness. Beauty is our physical beauty, in actual fact. If you're trying to make a play for Heidi Klum, then who is single, by the way, again? She is going to potentially have different walls up than somebody who is, quote, more average looking and less supermodel. So she has the classic beauty piece down pat, okay? The rest of us people probably really just want to work on the attractiveness piece of it. And the attractiveness comes down to making the best of what we've got. Mm-hmm. It's the confidence. It is the helping them to succeed as opposed to making it impossible for them to get a hold of us and talk to us.
Right.
So attractiveness is actually way more important to a guy than straight beauty is. Now,
right.
When I say to a guy, I'm talking the average guy as opposed to somebody who just has to date supermodels and have pure bling on his arm.
But wouldn't attractiveness then equate to approachability?
It's part of it, yes. It's, you know, laughter under, grace under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not, you know, if he does do something stupid and get you the wrong drink, attractiveness would be going, oh, okay, well, let me try this, whatever, and
yeah.
If it doesn't work, then we're going back for my original drink.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what I said to you, I mean, the fact of like, well, I haven't tried it, so let me, before I make a big deal out of it.
Right.
Okay, that's all part of attractiveness.
That's more of an easygoing thing, though.
Like, yeah, but if you think of it from a man's point of view, we've talked about this many times, they have, categorically, more of them have a fear of rejection.
Right.
We have a fear of, we as women have a fear of being hurt, but they have a fear of rejection, so they are going to look for that, what did you just call it? Easygoingness. Because easygoing, they can bumble around a little bit and still work with you if you're easygoing.
Right.
If you're like, whoa, you know, you got me the wrong drink, I'm going to shut you down, I'm going to bitch, I'm going to complain, whatever, then they're going to go, wow, the odds of me winning at this, the odds of me getting my prize are going down further and further.
Well, that's because the guy can only do more wrong and then they're going to be bitched at every time. No guy's going to want that.
If you're looking at it in a dating scenario, though, I mean, he's constantly weighing the, am I getting anywhere? Am I winning? Am I getting closer? I mean, if we are, to a certain degree, we're, he, you know, it's not a competition necessarily between him and his friends, but is he getting closer to his prize? His prize being whatever, your number, your email, a chance to see you for coffee the next day, whatever he has in his mind, the more easygoing, the more friendly, the more flirtatious we are, the more we're willing to put some honest cards on the table. I was out recently, and this guy was, turns out he was picking me up. I was having a good time just enjoying it, and I teasingly turned to him and said, you are cute as a button, and I am never going home with you tonight. But we can have a lot of fun.
And how did he take that?
And he had a big smile on his face. He knew exactly that where his drop-dead point was, okay?
And some people might like that as a challenge, too.
There's a whole bunch of guys that want to turn a maybe into a yes. And it still doesn't change the fact that we have put down some line in the sand. Their job maybe is to push the line and see if they can go over it. We, with our personal boundaries, and nicely saying, well, aren't you sweet for giving me my 10th drink, but I've stopped drinking.
Yeah. You were saying that the 10% previously,
mm-hmm.
that they're not just the players, but they're dating you?
Like, no, they're good daters? They're flirting. They're good at flirting. They're good at engaging women. They make women feel... When I say they make women feel special, some of them, they're playing the game with confidence, as you said.
Right.
As opposed to a lot of other men, like the woman on the call when she said, I had to start, you know, we started talking, we talked for an hour at the dog park, and then we went, I helped him by saying, hey, here's my email, and, you know, I think you should read this book. And then when I didn't hear from him in 4 days, I sent him another email that he, you know, had open-ended questions that he had to respond to. She was dealing with the 90%. She was dealing with someone who really didn't know how to
engage
and to get her to find out if she was somebody that he wanted to. Whereas the 10% are naturals enough that if you look interesting, they're going to find a way to get in your presence.
Right.
And find out if there is something there. It doesn't necessarily mean they want to take you home that night. Those are the players.
Okay.
So what we want is we want to be able to provide the information to women to help the 90%. Because the 10% you don't have to worry about. They know how to get to you. They'll find you. They'll do it all. We don't have to help them succeed at it.
Right. What are the women doing right now that are engaging the other 90% that are getting success? We don't know.
We do know.
Do we?
We know they're probably, they've amped up their confidence. They have kept their attractability, you know, that generic term,
right,
high. They might be easygoing. They might have some good opening lines that help him because, you know, they're willing to step up. They're willing to get in and be one half, maybe even more. They might even lead the dance for a while before, as you said, then you want them to take over and finish and bow you or something. I'm thinking of the dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are no specific steps. That's it? Is that it?
Well, getting proximity to them. I mean, a lot of guys could not... I mean, if they see you across the bar and they go, oh my gosh, she's... Wow. They have no idea how to get from where they are to where you are. So what we're inspiring women is to say, move around if you're in a bar. Don't hang with your girlfriends unless you are very, very clear that you are out for your girlfriends and you want, you know, the walls up and everything, mm-hmm. and you're going to shoot down any guy that's coming at you. But if you want to be open and you want to potentially meet somebody, you're going to have to step away from a group. Ideally, don't even go with a group. Go with one woman, a wing woman, who's going to, you guys are going to, you know, split off, go to the bathroom. You're going to do your own little dance so that guys can get a hold of, get in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just go heads down and focus on each other and solve each other's problems, but, you know, you're flirtatious with the bartender. Then a guy has a chance to think, she looks happy, she looks like she's approachable. I was talking to one of my guys and he said, where you stand in a bar, if you want to be the pickup versus the picky. I'm like, okay,
really?
Wow. Yes.
Where should you stand in a bar?
Yes, because the 10% of the men that are kind of naturals, if they're on, you know, if they're out to meet women, they will strategically stand so that they have tremendous peripheral vision, that they can see women coming in the entrance, that they might stand near a mirror so that they can casually turn around and drink their drink and still see what's going on behind them.
Really?
Yes. And that's why I committed to one of the women on the teleconferences. I said, I'm going to try this out as a woman. Because evidently it will work. If I go to, quote, meet men,
right.
I'm not saying take them home or anything, but if I just want to practice my flirting skills,
yeah.
I have to find the confidence to be able to stand either with me or with my girlfriend. So I could take a girlfriend and we could strategically start in one corner of the bar where we can see everybody, and then we could strategically move closer to where we wanted to be to a bunch of guys. We could, especially if a lot of guys, where do guys hang out in a bar? They hang out at the bar. right? It's a given. The, okay. Because they're not going to be dancing unless they're out as a group. And they're, you know, and they're really a group and they're not
right.
being single guys. If they're out as a group, you might find them in a back corner eating their nachos and beer and things like that. But they're settled in as a group. It's guys' night.
Yeah.
They're not out to meet women. If they're out to meet women, they're probably at the bar. So this, when I was down in Nassau at Nobu, I don't even know if I did it unconsciously, but I kind of had to go from where I was sitting, and I mm-hmm. said, okay, I'll start first rounds. I got up, I scanned the bar, and I went, I'm going in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in between a cute guy on one side and a cute guy on the other. I sort of got close to this cute guy. He looked like he was doing something sort of to my left. The cute guy to the right wasn't paying me any attention, but I was there long enough that waiting for my drinks and mm-hmm. starting my tab and everything, and I was looking at the champagne menu, and so there was just enough time, and so, quote, he got the attention
mm-hmm.
because he turned around and he said something about champagne versus Prosecco or something, and I helped him.
Right.
I didn't shut him down. I just helped add something. I said, well, you know, do you think these are, I mean, I pulled a little bit of a batty eyelash thing, but do you think I can have any of these in the bottle, in by the glass? And he actually pulled my leg. He did the humor piece, and he says, I go for it, any of them. So then he called over his favorite female bartender. He said, Shirley, talk to Shirley, the woman down there. Let's get her over here. So he became very helpful to me.
Right, and guys love to do that.
And guys love to do that. And I said, and I leaned over the bar, because, I mean, it's a wide bar, and I leaned over and I said, Shirley, this lovely gentleman to my right here has said that I could probably have anything here. And she laughed and giggled and, you know, did her bat the eyelashes, and she said no. And she flipped the page and said, here's your champagne. Here's your champagne by the glass.
Yeah.
But by that time, the game was on. I knew her name.
Mm-hmm.
I knew his name. I was making her look good, him look good. The dance was on, and
right.
it just kept dancing. I mean, I took my drinks, and I went back to my party.
Yeah.
So at one point, I was sitting down with one of the girls. She was complaining, I never meet any men. I said, where are you meeting them? She says, in bars. I'm picking them up in bars. I'm like, okay, looking for the one in a bar is tough. I was looking to have fun and flirt. I wasn't taking anybody home. In fact, you know, I mentioned this to him further in the night, going, no, I'm going home with my friends. I'm
yeah.
good. But we could have a lot of fun in the meantime. He, at one point, was crooking his finger at me, saying, like, you know, get your butt over here. And I'm like, and I screwed up my face. But it, within 5 minutes, because I was enjoying the game and everything, I left, got up, and I went, and I think I got a glass of water or something. I said, so, what's up? And he kept talking to me. It was going to be impossible for him, as a guy, to break into my group of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
I can't expect that of him.
No.
But what happened is, the second time I went over, and he said, and he teasingly said, your girlfriend is really cute. I said, you know what? She might be available. Let me see if I can help you. Okay. So the game has really gotten interesting and complicated.
Yeah.
But it's because I wasn't out to pick him up. You know what I mean?
No.
I was out to just have fun and engage. So I said, okay, well, I'll work on this. I'll be your wingwoman and everything like that. So the game kept going, and eventually I got back towards him at the bar and everything, and I said, you know what? She's going to come over soon, so I'll introduce you. So he's all giggles and everything, and he says, you do know I'm really not interested in her. And I said, well, and I didn't really pay attention that he was more interested in me, but I said, well, guess what? You can have two for the price of one, because she's coming over anyways. So I brought the group to him.
Right.
I brought the girls to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kept blossoming, and we got more and more people, but it was instilling the confidence that, really, within reason, as long as he, you know, didn't try and make a direct play, he was going to have a good time. He was going to meet people. He could get numbers. He could not get numbers.
Yeah, but do you think women just want to engage for the night?
Some of them do. We know women. We've definitely got women that might be engaging for the night. But, you know, I think every woman, we don't do one-night stands really well. I think every woman is looking for someone who makes her feel cherished and adored enough that there's a possibility that there's more.
Right. But you were saying that friend that was bitching about meeting guys, she was saying that she met most of them in a bar.
And she was trying to take them home. She was trying to get picked up but she was trying to take the ones that she took home relatively quickly. She was trying to turn into boyfriends.
But isn't that why we'd want to engage?
No.
In general?
You see, I disagree. I think dating is the fun part of it is not to get to that physical piece until you know that there's a real reason that you want to. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is just casting the net much, much further. I mean, in theory, I didn't get his number. I didn't get his name. I kind of kicked myself because he was an interesting guy. He was fun. He doesn't live in the same city as me. I wasn't going to do anything. But as a way to know more people and to find out what works for me and all of the sifting process.
So then you're saying it's more of a social experiment.
Well, it's definitely a social experiment if you haven't flirted in a long time.
Right, but I mean, it could be fun, but at the same time, it's a lot of effort for somebody who's, you know, looking for something.
Well, then, wait a minute, you're in a bar. We're talking about I'm in a bar.
Right.
What are you in a bar for?
A good time. And the bar facilitates that because there's drinking, there's dancing, there's walking around. Right. But at the same time, it's easier to do all that in a bar than, say, anywhere else, which is where, I guess, where that woman was saying, well, I meet them all in a bar. Well, where else could she meet them to have the same kind of effect?
Right. Well, and we've heard that you can meet them at the dog park. And unless he's a 10% guy, he's probably not going to get, you're going to have to help him to give him your contact information. You have to know the process. And that's what the other woman on the call was saying. How do I go quickly from meeting him in a Starbucks line
right.
to, hey, you know, in 10 minutes, this guy's probably going to be out of my life. How do I get it? We can only take them so far. We all agreed that sliding your napkin, I'm a firm believer that women should, if they are going to, you know, make dating and looking for people, we should have a non-business card. We should have our name and contact information, some way that you can say, you know, instead of a napkin, potentially, just dig it out and it depends on the confidence of the woman. We all take our business cards and pop them into fish bowls at, you know, to win a prize.
Should we even be giving out our numbers or should we be taking in numbers?
Ideally, we want to be helping them so that they feel confident enough to say, hey, I would like your number. So when we were talking on the call that one of the months when we said how quickly we can get him to, hey, too bad the lineup isn't longer. I'd love to continue chatting.
Yeah.
... She said it with a smile. She said it relatively pointed. If she's had any kind of engagement with him, and he's got any kind of interest, the guys are saying, having talked to the guys about this, the men panel, yeah. they're saying, really, that's my cue to say, yes, can you put your phone number or your contact in my phone? And he hands her his phone.
Did you check to see if that would work with the guys?
The guys, it depends on the age, and yes, it works. I know people that don't have, no young person carries a business card anymore.
No.
They just swap phone information.
And that was
my personal problem at my age is I want to separate my business and things like that. I mean, I have had in the past people trying to engage me during my work day and I want some sort of delineation between, you know, work and personal. So for me, I would have some sort of contact information that is strictly play. Okay,
right.
And then it's up to me to check it if I've just met somebody and I've handed it over.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to me to check it to make sure that I haven't dropped a ball. But most of the younger people now just swap phone and Facebook or something right away.
Mm-hmm.
And It still doesn't mean. The guys, when I was transcribing the guy's call, the guys admitted they might have just been flirting, enjoying the flirt.
Right.
Okay?
And have no intention of calling.
Have no intention of calling. And one guy admitted and said, I would never tell her in public, because chances are more people have seen this. I would never tell her in public that I'm not going to call. I would call and say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm taken, I'm whatever. It was delightful talking to you. Thank you.
As opposed to not calling at all?
He said he would try and call. He said he would recognize that that was somebody going out on a limb. He's been there. So he's a conscientious. There's going to be guys that just don't call.
Right.
You can't take it personally.
It's hard for a person just getting out there to not take it personally, though.
So my advice would be then don't hand out your number.
Take in numbers.
Yeah. Make it so easy and so playful and so, quote, joyous that when you say, hey, you know, too bad the lineup isn't longer, it's been great talking to you, dot, 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 that they say, yeah, do you come here often, so to speak, or something, you know? I'm usually here, this is an odd time, I'm usually here at Starbucks between 10 and 11, or this is my normal Starbucks or something. And if they don't, next.
Yeah.
Next, next.
Yeah, but you have to have a really thick skin to keep saying next. Like, think about how long it took us to get to the next, 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 just with people we hire.
Yes. George Clooney was talking last night on the Actors Studio, and he said, you know, actors, by the time they get their Academy Award, they really feel that they've deserved it because they, when they go in for an audition, A, they don't have the job when they go in.
Yep.
B, they probably don't have the job when they come out.
Yep.
The difference is, does something happen in that gets them the job when they leave? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they're selling themselves. They don't have any other product. Dating is the same way. We're selling ourselves. There's only one of us. But we can put our best, you know, we started going back to beauty versus attractiveness. All of this makes us way more attractive. And they don't care about the strict beauty. Most women really, I'm thinking some of the women that we know and coach, they are still somehow hoping that by sheer luck and happenstance, and I'm going to use the very bad phrase of, if you're locked in your ivory tower, even being, you know, corporate Canada, how do you expect Prince Charming to get his steed up the elevator? We've got to get out. We've got to play. We've got to put fun back into it.
Yeah.
The guys are tired too. They really are. They're tired of being shot down. They're tired of being judged. They're tired of being... I've listened to a bunch of men say the reason they date such a young age group, these were over 50, 60-year-olds, is because they can say, and these are men with money, they can say, hey, how would you like to go to Rome? And the young woman's going to go, oh, I've never been to Rome. I'd love to go to Rome. Whereas maybe if he says that to someone in his own age bracket, she's going to go, Rome in August is hot. And you know what? The last time I was there with my ex, the bus tour didn't work. And the guy's just like, oh my gosh. So spontaneity, men love spontaneity. They feel that they're super powerful. So if a woman is going to spontaneously get close to him and spontaneously try and engage some sort of flirtatious behavior, this guy's going to, no matter what, whether he's married or not, unless he's an absolute jerk, he's going to think he's won the lottery in that 5 minutes, going, oh my gosh, look at me. Look what I do. Look. I'm great.
So this is Fiona Fine from howtoputthefunbackintodating.com. Thanks for joining me. Tap in, tune in, turn on, and let's grow a movement to put the fun back into dating.